Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon this morning is based on our gospel lesson as we continue our readings from St. Luke. Today we read in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is going to return suddenly to gather those who are waiting for their master. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain about what we do not see. Those words that the writer to the Hebrews penned as part of our second lesson are powerful. We Christians do not live our lives by sight. We do not have to see it to believe it. We fully expect those things that God's Word reveals are going to take place for us in the days ahead that God grants us will take place. God gave Abraham some promises about the future. Abraham believed those promises, and God credited it to him as righteousness, as faith in his Savior that took God at his word, even though, humanly speaking, he could not see how it was possible or how it would come to pass. God told Abraham that you are going to have a son, and that his descendants would be as countless as those skies in the heavens, or as the stars in those heavens that God showed him. Abraham took God at his word, even though those things seemed impossible for him and Sarah. We apply Abraham's response to ourselves as we look at our Savior's words that St. Luke recorded in his gospel. The Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. As your shepherd, I ask you this morning, are you ready? Are you zealously preparing for the day when our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns to this earth? Here are those preparations that we are to make in our joyful anticipation for Christ's sudden return. First of all, We have joyful anticipation for that day as we know where our treasure is. And secondly, we wait in that joyful anticipation as we are watchful at all times. Our Father has been pleased to give us the kingdom of God. Entirely by God's good pleasure, our God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, has given us the righteousness of Christ. He has given us joy and peace through the Holy Spirit. By no other reason than God's good pleasure, He has exchanged Christ's righteousness for our unrighteousness. He has exchanged our sorrow for our sins for the joy of our forgiveness. By His good pleasure, He has exchanged peace with God forever and ever, with our fear of having to spend eternity in hell, separated from God and His blessings. That great exchange, that pleasure of God that has done all of those things for us in Christ, has removed our fear. And so we have a reason when Jesus says, "Do not fear, little flock." We have reason not to fear as God's little flock, as His sheep, as sheep of the Good Shepherd who live among wolves. Isn't it the removal of fear that creates joyful anticipation for someone or something suddenly to appear? I mean, think of the times when we were afraid that somebody was going to suddenly show up. Remember the time when we were kids? We had our hands in the cookie jar, or maybe our head in the refrigerator, wondering if mom or dad were going to suddenly appear in the kitchen. That was not joyful anticipation, as I recall. Or think of the times in the classroom, as I've seen in others, when maybe you were doing something you shouldn't have been doing, and you were afraid that suddenly, unannounced, the teacher would return to the classroom. Or you look in the rearview mirror and you wonder where that patrol car popped up from suddenly as you're speeding down the highway. All of those anticipations are with fear, and there's nothing joyful about the anticipation of those things coming. When it comes to the sudden return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have no fear. There is nothing to fear because God has removed our fear. He has clothed us in Christ. He has given us righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. He has called us to be His own now and forever. One important way, then, as we now live in joyful anticipation for the sudden appearing of Christ, is to know where our treasure is. Because where our treasure is, there our hearts are going to be. Where our treasures are, our hearts are going to be. And so it's important, isn't it, to have the right treasure, because we want our hearts to be on the right thing and not the wrong thing. It occurred to me that a perfect illustration of this, and just having been there, and I disagree that it's perhaps the tackiest souvenir that you could buy, are the I Heart New York t-shirt. You all know that, the I, and then a nice bright red heart, and then the letters and why? What does that shirt mean? It means New York is my treasure. New York is the thing that I love above all else. And therefore, it has my heart. It has my attention, it has my devotion, my dedication, maybe better. It has my every thought, even when I'm not there. My treasure is New York, and where my treasure is, there is my heart. Jesus says, don't have as your treasure someplace like New York City. Don't have as your treasure things that the moss can destroy and rust can corrupt, things that can wear out, things that you can lose, because those things are not lasting. Jesus says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And those treasures are the forgiveness of all of our sins, new spiritual life through faith in Christ, the assurance of eternal salvation in heaven, that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Our God has been pleased to give us the kingdom of God. All of those things make up the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of grace, Jesus' rule in our hearts. And when we treasure those things, then that's where our heart will be. Then we could all wear t-shirts that say, I heart the kingdom of God. Because where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. And then I'll be ready. I'll be ready in joyful anticipation for Christ's sudden return, because he won't find my heart on something it shouldn't be on. Thinking about, dedicating my life to, treasuring something about this earth and its possessions and its treasures. Joyful anticipation for Christ's sudden return is that my heart is on the kingdom of God. But it is also prepared for the sudden and unexpected return of our Lord Jesus when we are always watchful. When we are always expecting. And I said, really, Jesus' second coming for us is not unexpected. It's sudden, unannounced, but it's not unexpected. Because we expect it any time. It could come any time. Think about when you're waiting for somebody to come to take you to breakfast. Or you need a ride and somebody is coming to pick you up to take you to the doctor. Or maybe you and your spouse are going out for the evening for dinner and a movie with another couple, and they said, well, I'll pick you up. I don't know exactly what time, but we'll be there in the evening to pick you up and we'll go out. Don't you want to be ready, dressed and ready and prepared for when they come, for when they get there? You don't want to have them wait around for you. Maybe they won't wait around for you. If they come and you're not ready, they might say, sorry, you're not ready. You're not dressed and prepared, so we're going to go on without you. This is the mini parable that Jesus told to his disciples about being constantly watchful and dressed ready for Christ's sudden return. He said there were some servants who were waiting for their master to get home from a wedding feast. And they wanted to be prepared for when he came home so that they could serve him, so that he would find them working, going about their business, not sitting idly by unprepared and being caught off guard when he returned. And so they got dressed. Literally, they got ready for service. And they lit their candles in joyful anticipation of the Master's return. And when the Master returned, he found them watchful. He found them dressed, ready for service. He found them with their lamps burning, looking for him, waiting for his return. And so it is for you and for me, as we are dressed in our garments of salvation, as we keep our lamps of faith lit in eager expectation of our Savior's return. As we are dressed, ready for service, not standing idly by, not busy doing other things, not watching for him, not waiting for him, but continuing to keep our thoughts and our hearts focused on the things of this world. To be ready for service is to have our faith in action, serving our Lord Jesus while we wait. Having our lamps of faith lit means to have that faith burning, glowing brightly as we keep it fused, or as we keep it lit with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus our Savior in the gospel. Did you notice, though, that then something very different happened? Something that is not really known among men, but is known only with God. Jesus said, the Master himself, when he got there, instead of sitting down and waiting to be served by his servants, he dressed up like a servant. And he told his servants to recline at the table, and then he served them. He waited on them. Jesus' message, of course, is that he is our servant. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, to give my life as a ransom for the many. Jesus served us by bearing our sins so that they could be nailed to the cross, so that he could rise to new life, so that through our baptisms we could rise to new life and live in him and through him and with him forever and ever in heaven. The point Jesus is making is that when that Master returned, he served his servants. And that's the way it's going to be for us. In fact, we already have a taste of that in the kingdom of God now. We already have a taste of it in our worship. I suspect that you got up this morning and thought something like, well, I need to do something for God, so I'll go to church today. You know, God wants me to do something for him, so I'll get out of bed and I'll go and I'll worship him. And here we are now doing something for God, singing his praises, sacrificing our time. No, we're not doing anything for God here. God doesn't need us to do anything for him. We come to church because in church God does for us. The Bible talks about in heaven you and I being seated at a great banquet feast, and our Savior Jesus Christ feeding us and giving us living water as we enjoy our place in heaven. Jesus Christ served us in the kingdom of God by being our Savior. Our Lord Jesus serves us in worship as he feeds us on his word, as he feeds us and nourishes us with Holy Communion and with Holy Baptism. And in heaven, Jesus will continue to serve us. He will serve us with perfect holiness, with joy and with peace. He will serve us by removing from us all sorrow, all tears, all grief, all loss, all sin, all temptation. I don't know, maybe we don't really think about heaven as a place where God serves us. But really, it is. Because, as I said, God doesn't need anything from us. But we need everything from Him. And in that way, He serves us in the kingdom of God. And so when we are ready, as we are watchful, we won't miss out on that. Because God is not going to wait for you on Judgment Day. God is not going to wait for anybody after the trumpet sounds and say, well, you know you weren't ready, but I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to wait a little while until you're prepared, until you're ready for me to come. And He's not going to give us any advance notice other than the advance notice He gives us today. That He is going to return. That He is going to come again. The Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. Now we're expecting Him, but we don't know at what hour. And Jesus uses the example of a thief. He says if the owner knew when the thief was coming, then he could be prepared. And the point Jesus is making is if that's true, then you better be prepared all the other times. You need to be prepared when you don't know the hour that that thief is coming. There needs to be a constant readiness, as if we knew the hour, as if we were certain that He will come at this time. You and I know that it's just as certain that Jesus will return before we leave this morning, as it is certain that He will come later today, or tomorrow, or the next day. It's not a matter of whether or if Jesus, the Son of Man, is really going to return. He is going to return. The issue and the concern is, am I going to be ready? Am I going to zealously prepare for that day by having my heart on the treasures that are really important? And is He going to find me watchful for His return? And in the meantime, we are ready, dressed for service. We serve our Lord now as we wait in that joyful anticipation and desire of that glorious life with which our Lord will serve us in eternity. And may that attitude move us to say with the Apostle John, who heard Jesus say, yes, I am coming soon. May we say with John, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.